All right. Now, let's make a start this morning, seeing it's Sunday morning. And I want to talk to you this morning about whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? See, every day, and you're going to have to choose every day between perhaps what your doctor or your bank manager or your neighbor or your friend or your husband or your wife or your father or your mother or someone else says to you and what God has to say. So we face choices, and the choices are we going to believe the report from some of those voices that have been ringing in our ears, and in fact some of those voices are credible and may have in fact given us good advice in the past, but it may not be the best advice today. So we have to decide, are we going to believe the voices that have helped in the past, the voices that we trust, the voices that we know, or are we going to trust the voice of the Lord? And sometimes the people who are giving you advice and have given you good advice in the past, they will maybe perhaps not understand about working with the Word of God. They won't understand this whole concept that we teach you, that God's Word has got to be not only the first word, but the last word. Whatever God says, He means, and He means what He says. And so we have to take His Word over all the others. Turn to Matthew chapter 18 with me, if you would. Matthew chapter 18, we'll just read a verse there. See, the people that are advising you, you know, friends, neighbors, and relatives, and so forth, they may not always just be in tune with God the way you are, or believe the Word of God the way you do. In Matthew 18:19, which, you know the scripture, I'm sure we've used it often, but in 18:19 it says this in the King James, again I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. The Amplified says, again I say, if two of you on earth agree or harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything that you may ask, it shall come to pass and be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Now, that means that if you get an agreement with someone, it is going to happen. Now, it may be something negative that you're getting an agreement with, and that will happen. But it's much better if you get in agreement with the Word of God and the Spirit of God and see the positive goodness of God's life come to pass in your life. See, the people that you associate with, whether casually or intimately or whatever, they are either going to add or subtract in your life. They're going to add to or take away from your life. They'll either build you up spiritually or they'll tear you down. And you'll find that out even in church circles, in Christendom, there are people that even though they may be born again and spirit-filled, there's sometimes that they will say things and do things, and they will not build you up. They will not bring you to the place that God's trying to get you to. In fact, they may take you the other way and pull you down. Go to Isaiah chapter 53. Now remember, we're talking to you today about whose report will you believe? Isaiah 53, verse 1 in the King James says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The Amplified says, who has believed, trusted in, relied upon, and clung to our message of that which was revealed to us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been disclosed? The Living Bible puts it this way, but oh, how few believe it. Who will listen? To whom will God reveal his saving power? So whose report do you believe today? The answer to that question is going to determine whether or not you see the arm of the Lord revealed in your life. If we believe the report of the Lord, we're going to see the arm of the Lord revealed. Remember, faith, and Russell's already mentioned faith this morning. Russell said that in the early part, that we're a people of faith. He said we're a people of great faith, I think was how he phrased it. But you see, faith is a fight. It is a fight to keep your faith working. You don't have to fight with the devil. He's already been defeated. The fight is to keep your faith operational. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Now, I've probably mentioned that before. It's a good fight when you win. It's a bad fight when you lose. Having been a policeman and a bouncer, as you know, and I've told you that before, I've been in lots of fights, both legally and otherwise, and all of my fights were good because I won. And, you know, if you're going to be in some sort of confrontation, it's great to go into the confrontation knowing that you're going to come out as the winner. And that's how it is in our relationship with God and also with the devil, because we know that the devil has already been defeated. And even though we're going in there and we're fighting to keep our faith operational, it's our faith. See, faith pleases God. When you please God, he rewards those who use faith. Now, Hebrews 11:6 tells us. So as we go in there, we know that our faith is going to bring the victory to us. So we're in a faith fight, you and I this morning, but it's a good fight because we know we're going to win in the end. We're going to win in this situation. And as someone said, I read the end of the book, we win. I like that. We're the winners. Doesn't matter whether you read the end of the book or not, you're still a winner. I want to talk to you for a little bit about a man called Eleazar. I don't know if you know who he is, but we'll find him in 2 Samuel, if you want to look there with me, 2 Samuel chapter 23. Eleazar was one of David's mighty men. Now, I don't know if you know what a mighty man is. A mighty man is someone who is beyond purchase. A mighty man is one of those warriors who will go into the battle and will stay in the battle until either he wins or he's killed. He's beyond purchase. 2 Samuel chapter 23. He's a mighty man is a man who will not give up for his king. In other words, he's going to stay there and make sure that the king that he serves is going to come out on top in this battle. And such was this man called Eleazar. Just let me find it. Chapter 23. 2 Samuel 23, verse 10. In the it talks here, we can just... Well, we could read verse 9. It's interesting. Eleazar was the son of Dodo. Oh, that's interesting. Good name. The Ahohite. One of the three mighty men of David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. So the army had gone, they were frightened. Verse 10, talking about Eleazar, it says, he arose and he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave, King James word again, onto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned for the spoils. The Living Bible puts it this way. He killed the Philistines, and the Lord gave... He killed the Philistines until his hand was too tired to hold the sword, and the Lord gave him a great victory. The rest of the army did not return until it was time to collect the loot. Interesting words. The New Century Version puts it this way. All except Eleazar, he killed Philistines until his hand was cramped, and he couldn't let go of the sword. When Eleazar finished, all the Israelite troops, had to do was come back and take the enemy's weapons and their armor. The Lord gave Israel a great victory that day. Now here's a man, and his testimony is that he was in a faith fight. He was in there, he knew he was going to win this fight. He knew he was not going to be defeated, and because he held onto that sword so long, his hand got cramped in the position. I don't know about you, I've had cramps. Sometimes I get cramps in my leg because my leg was all smashed up one time. But I get cramps in my leg. I'm lying in bed and my leg, you know, has that ever happened? Your foot goes all sort of funny and you got to get out. Elizabeth, I get out of bed and I'm tramping on the floor trying to get the feeling back and get the cramp to go. Well, I discovered something that helped me in that. Calcium and magnesium, if you happen to take that. That will stop you having leg cramps. I don't know what else it does, but it'll stop leg cramps. So I don't have leg cramps anymore. But this man's got the sword, and he's holding on so hard to the sword, his hand is cramped, and he can't let it go. And so he just keeps on fighting and keeps on fighting, and eventually defeats all the enemies, and God wrought a great victory there because he wouldn't give up. He was in this faith fight. So God gave him the victory, even though he was all by himself, and nobody else came back until it's all over, and they came back just to pick up the spoils or pick up the loot, as I like the way the Living Bible puts that. The rest of the army did not return until it was time to collect the loot. There's a lot of people like that. You know, they say, oh, we'll fight the enemy, but you go right ahead. In other words, they'll push you out front and you deal with all those things, and then we'll come in and get all the blessing later. So he went out here, and he was alone on the battlefield except for the presence of God. He was alone on the battlefield except for God's Spirit. The rest of the army, as I said, they'd run away, and they stayed away until it was just time to come and pick up the loot. Now, go back to the New Testament, to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm trying to get this message to you this morning. Whose report will you believe? Ephesians chapter 6. I know we're going back and forwards here, but there are principles that I want you to get hold of. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 12. Ephesians 6, 12. Let me just read from the King James. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And verse 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now the Amplified Bible puts it just this way. In verse 12, "For we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending with merely physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all that the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having on the breastplate of integrity and moral rectitude and right standing with God, and having your feet shod with the preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news, by the gospel of peace. Lift up all the covering shield of saving faith, with which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times, on every occasion, and in every season in the Spirit." That's the Shandamo Sokabarundi. "With all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch, and with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all God's people, the saints." All right. Now, in the Living Bible, that's the one I want to read to you. This is what it says. The Living Bible. "For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, against the evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. So use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy whenever he attacks. When it is over, you will still be standing up. But to do this, you need the strong belt of truth and the breastplate of God's approval. Wear shoes that are able to speed you on as you preach the good news of peace with God. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. And you will need the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times. Ask God for anything in line with the Holy Spirit's wishes. Plead with Him, reminding Him of your needs. And keep praying earnestly for all Christians everywhere." Point about this is, when you're tired and the battle is long. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there. I mean, sometimes we seem to get in this battle and prayer, and we're praying and we're speaking the word, and there doesn't seem to be any response. You know, we're not getting anywhere. But it says, when you're in that place where the battle's long, and you're trying your best, you're doing all you can do, and the end doesn't seem to be in sight, there's no end to this battle that's going on, and the enemy seems to keep coming back and keep coming back, that's the time when you need to take your sword and hold on. You need to hold on to the sword with such a grip that it's almost, as the King James said in Samuel, claved to your hand. In other words, you are cramped in position with this sword. Now what you need to do, you hold on to this sword, you tighten your grip on the sword, and I want you to know that when you get the Word of God, you hit the enemy with it every time, right between the eyes. I mean, hit him with the sword every time. That's why it's important to know what it says. Because it's not holding the Bible that's going to do it, it's holding it in your heart and speaking it out of your mouth. That's how you use it. You know, the Bible talks in the book of Revelation about Jesus coming in a sharp sword coming out of his mouth. Two-edged sword. So that's the Word of God. We need to be able to speak the Word of God. So Job 22:28, which is one of Russell's favorite verses, says that if you will decree a thing, God will establish it. So as you decree out of your mouth what God says, Job 22, 28, you decree it out of your mouth, God's going to establish it. Why? Because he's watching over his word to perform it. So whose report are you going to believe? 22, 28. What are you expecting today? What is your confession today? I was reading a book, and I came on this little note, and I've never heard the chorus, but Jack Hayford, apparently, whom some of you may have heard of, he wrote a chorus, and there's two lines in the chorus that took my thinking. I've never heard the chorus sung, I don't know what it is, but the words are these: I anticipate the inevitable supernatural intervention of God. I expect a miracle. Think about that. I anticipate the inevitable supernatural intervention of God. I expect a miracle. What is your expectation today? What are you expecting, God? Whose report are you believing? What's your outlook today? Do you believe the best is going to happen? Do you believe that the pain that's in your body right now has no right to be there? Or, well, it's just something and I put up with it? I don't believe that. I've had pain in my body, but I've got to a place where I now refuse to accept it. I mean, just because I don't accept it doesn't mean it goes away immediately, but that's the battle. You keep on keeping on. You keep on speaking the word, and that's the faith fight. And as you keep on keeping on, guess what? The pain has eventually got to go. It has to go. It has no choice. Why? Because God is not a liar. His word works every time. So do you expect the best, or do you expect the worst, or perhaps you expect nothing at all? See, according to your anticipation, according to your expectancy, that's what you're going to get. Perhaps today is time we need to ask ourselves, what do we really believe about the Word of God? What do we really believe about God's Word? When God says he wants to heal us, do we really believe that? When God says he wants to deliver us, do we really believe that? When God says he wants to bless us, do we really believe it, or is it just some sort of, well, it's a nice little thing to do on a Sunday morning, and that's our little religious duty, and, well, that's it. We've got it over for the week, and then we're okay to next week again. No. Are you going to believe this or not? See, God promises to bless you. He promises to heal you. He promises to deliver you. He promises to make you prosperous. But you have to work with him in all of these areas. We have to speak his word out. Perhaps you think the promises are for other people. Well, they're okay for Russell. They're okay for Norman. They're okay for Liz. But they're not for me. They're for everyone who will take them. It's the whosoever will appropriate them. See, you can know these promises. You can know that God says such and such. And listen, you can read this book time and time and time and time again. And I'm sure you do. You read your Bible. But the interesting thing is this. You can know about all these blessings that are promised. But if you don't expect the manifestation of the promises to be in your life, guess what? They're not going to be there. They're not going to come. You've got to expect. So expectation is the key to releasing your faith. Expectation is the key to releasing the blessing of God. God's people must be blessed. You and I must be blessed. We have no choice in that matter. We must be blessed, because it's not until we experience the blessing are we able to take that blessing to the people out there who've never heard about it. I'm going to say it again because you didn't listen to me. We must be blessed, because it's not until we experience the blessing are we then able to go out there and share that with other people. See, otherwise it's just a theory. I mean, it's the theory of evolution. That's all it is, a theory. But the practical reality is that God created the whole thing. And there's no other explanation that you can give for it. So what you experience, then you're able to share with others. See, until the word is working in you, you don't have the right to say to anyone else, God saves. Until you've been saved and you know that you're saved, you can't tell someone else that is true. You can't preach healing to someone until you've experienced healing. You can say, oh, I believe God heals, but it's still only a theory. Until you experience it. Now, you can't say to someone, well, God wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and give you a new language that, you know, you've never learned and you can speak in tongues. But if you haven't experienced that, you can't tell anyone else the truth. It's only a theory. It may be in the Bible and it may be true, but until you experience it, you can't share it with someone else. Jesus said to the two blind men in Matthew 9 and 29, if you want to write it down, in the New Century Version, this is what it says. Then Jesus touched their eyes and said, because you believe, I can make you see again, it will happen. Because you believe, I can make you see again, it will happen. King James says, then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. See, it was their faith and their expectation that produced the miracle of sight in their eyes. Their faith and their expectation that produced the miracle of sight in their eyes. They were blind up to that point in time. You can read that. It's a wonderful little story. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but verse 13, he says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. See, what do you believe? Whose report do you believe today? When you say what God says in His Word, listen to me, that releases the creative power of God's Word to work on your behalf. When you're saying what He's saying, you're saying out of your mouth, Father, you said in your Word, God is seated in heaven. He's saying, yes, I remember saying that. He's bound by His Word. No word from God will fail to produce what He has said it will produce. He's watching over His Word. So when you're speaking His Word, He's watching over it. It's going to produce in your life what He said it will do. So when you say what God says, that releases the creative power of His Word into your life as you believe His report. Now let me just finish with this. Ephesians 1:19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to what? To the working of His mighty power. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? See, that's the key. We believe. I believe. I believe this word. I mean, I believe this in circumstances where I've been faced with death, people dying. I believe the Word of God. In my case, and this is not bragging on Norman Campbell, it's just telling you that in 6 instances, apart from Elizabeth when she had a stroke, in 6 instances I have dealt with death. People have already died, and we've spoken the Word of God into their, I was going to say their lives, into their death situation, and they've come out of death back into life again. See, we believe the Word of God. So we get to that place. I believe this report. This is my report. This is what God says. I'm believing this. See, I believe that the power of God is greater than the power of the enemy. I believe God's power to give life is greater than the enemy's power to take it. I believe God's power to heal is greater than the enemy's power to make you sick. I believe God's power to bless you and prosper you financially is greater than the enemy's is to steal from you. I believe this report. It's a better report. Whose report are you believing today? Let me read that, Ephesians 1:19. That's just sticking with me for a minute. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power? The Amplified says, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Praise the Lord. Think about it. You need to read the book of Ephesians probably every day for the next 30 days. If you do that, you know what? You'll have a different outlook on life. I've said that to you many, many times. So this morning, do you believe that the power of God is greater than the power of your circumstances? This means yes, okay? Jesus said through the lips of Paul that He would meet all of our needs. He said every need, not according to our needs, but according to His riches. Now think about that. Philippians 4:19. My God shall meet all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, think that through for a minute. We've still got about a minute left. We've got 6 minutes according to my clock. Think that through for a second. He said He will meet our needs, not according to our needs, but according to His riches. Not just riches in the earth, but His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So God's report is, I will meet all of your needs, not according to your needs, because if we put our needs and set them against the riches of His glory, our needs are, I mean, they're not even a speck. I mean, they're less than a pinhead by comparison to what He has, to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. And guess what? We're in Christ Jesus. As Russell said, Galatians 3 this morning, that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He hath. It's not he's not going to. He already has. Do you believe that God, listen to me, do you believe that God can open a door that's maybe presently closed? I mean, there may be a door closed in your life. It may be a door in business. It may be a door that you're looking for a new job. Whatever it is, do you believe God can open that door? I believe He can. I believe His report is greater than the report that says that door's closed. I believe He has a greater report. I believe He can meet every need. The next time the devil gives you a negative report, you need to say, says who? According to who? Well, according to God, I believe His report. I don't believe the report of the devil. The devil's report is negative. It always is. It's always a negative report. It's always the bad news. The little woman with the issue of blood, she had suffered much at the hands of many physicians and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, and she'd spent all she had. I mean, the devil put sickness on her. The sickness was that she had suffered a lot because of the sickness and because of the treatment, and then she'd lost all her money. I mean, he's a dirty dog. But that's how he works. See, I believe the report of God. She came along. She heard of Jesus. She reached in and she touched him. She reached in and she touched him. She began to believe that if she could just get in and touch him, guess what would happen? I'd be well. She says, I shall be whole. When Jesus ministered to her, he said, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Think about that. She said, I shall be whole. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. See, she had a fight of faith. She believed the report of the Word, which was stronger. She believed the report of God. That was a better report. What about you this morning? Do you believe God's Word? Do you believe that God can do the things that the enemy's presently trying to steal from you? He's trying to steal your finances. He's trying to steal your life. Maybe you're praying for someone in your family, saying, my father, my mother, my aunt, my uncle, my child, they're often lost in sin. Well, I believe God can bring them back again. See, it's a faith fight. We're in a fight. But I believe the report of the Lord. Say that this morning.
I believe
the report of the Lord. His report is a good report. The devil's report is a bad report.
I believe the good report.
I shall have what I believe.
And what I confess.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, our time is gone. I trust that has stirred your heart a little bit this morning.